Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. I told you we'd be back later on after the quick morning show so that we could give you day one in the books. And I would not lie to you. So there you go. There's some Brock, CMC. Juwan Jennings was on the field, and I was told that they're working on something. So I told you what it meant today. We'll get into that. You can see on the sideboard there for episode 199, so almost 200 into this thing. Storylines, Jennings on the field, it's number one. Wide receiver issues continue as Jacob Cowing is hurt and probably out for a while. Kyle Shanahan told us today. Ricky Pearsall probably going to return on Sunday. CMC is very healthy. It was just a vet day, as it was for Trent Williams. And Spencer Burford was at left tackle. He was a guard, but he was a tackle at Texas San Antonio, so it's not all that surprising, although I don't love that idea. As we talked about this morning, maybe eight jobs available on defense, as Vic Tafer wrote about this morning in The Athletic, and it was great to reconnect with a bunch of people who do a tremendous job covering the 49ers, including Vic. It was good to see him and the great Matt Maiocco, who is wearing his Pacific Tigers shirt, as he always does, for his 31st year, whatever it is, covering the 49ers. A lot of great people and a lot of great people within the 49ers. A lot of shaking hands, kissing babies for the opening of training camp day number one today. Defensively, I'll tell you about a few things and who was the best player on the field. And I'll tell you something that was really positive. And again, it's just one day, but it's what we have to go on. Mr. Collins is massive. Mr. Winters is fast. If you can harness it, a couple of picks. Everybody freaks out over Brock's picks. It's funny, but George Kittle doesn't. I'll tell you about that. A couple of guys who went to the podium today. Mr. Stout, kickers. Yep, we got to talk about kickers as well. So all the storylines, I will give you that from the practice number one. Welcome. Day one at camp. I'll be down there tomorrow and Friday as well. So we'll overreact to everything. And I will give you a little bit of a thing and a disclaimer from camp, but you know what? It's football. So I'm not going to not get excited about football because it's day number one. And somebody was asking me today, when you really consider football starting day, you know, is it week one? Is it preseason? It's starting now, man. I mean, it's starting now. And so we do make day one impressions and who was on the side working, and I'll give you all kind of stuff like that. And I do have tons of video from taking the video, and I did a shitty job in the video as far as, because there's like a spotlight sitting right at the angle of the spotlight, but you can still hear him as well as see him in the spotlight. So I got lots of good stuff, and I took a bunch of stuff on the field itself. So you're going to get lots of stuff from my opinion, and you're going to get a lot of stuff on the field and in the auditorium where everybody speaks today, from Kyle, from Bosa, from Kittle, and on the field stuff. So a complete recap from day number one. Thank you for making two stops today. And I already saw somebody say, why are you interrupting my day again? I did it at 8 o'clock this morning as we went old school. We went old school today and went at 8 a.m. And we'll have to do a short version tomorrow as well, and Friday. We're going to have to go back to the early days, because I got to get down there by like 10 o'clock in the morning. And you know Bay Area traffic. I'm coming from the East Bay, going to the South Bay, and you never know when there's going to be a wreck. And so today I got down there at about 9:50, perfect timing. It gets you into the little media room. We all converge and say hello. And then, we get out there about 10:20 in the morning, and then we start doing our little video stuff and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, want to say good afternoon to everybody, or good evening. Pine Needle was the first one in here today, the 1420, Daniel from the 916 and Sack. Christopher is here. Kyle is here. Scott is here. Chef is here. That's nice. Dang, dang. Miguel is here. Hello. Hey, bro. Miguel, it is great to see you, my friend. Very, very nice of you to make time for us. Chug. Yeah, I guess it is after 5 o'clock. But anyway, it is great to see everyone. Dylan, hello, hello, hello. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do have some great information that you can use today. So there is the cover. Camp day one. Don't worry about CMC. Again, it was a vet day and he is extremely healthy and that is not a story to worry about. So not a story to worry about. Trent Williams, not a story to worry about. They are 100% healthy. Let's start with this. The tweet of the day goes to my friend Matt Maiocco, and I did talk to him about his new role. He's not going to be traveling anymore for his 31st year. He is going to be in the studio for Comcast and pre and post game. So that is very good. Matt has extremely great information and contacts. It was his decision to go to the studio and not to travel and not to be exhausted, you know, all the time. So that was nice. And it was nice to catch up with him in person. But Matt Maiocco with day one of camp tweet of the day. Juwan Jennings caught three asses during team drills as he seeks a new contract. He is not taking the hold in route. Again, Juwan Jennings caught three asses during team drills. Matt Maiocco with the tweet of the day. Before we get to Juwan Jennings and discussing Juwan Jennings and the wide receiver room, something kind of cool, and I forgot to, I was going to ask Kyle Shanahan this, and I forgot to, an ode to Kyle Shanahan, and it's, they do have a DJ there, and usually it's the DJ who decides the day and what they kind of, play, and it's kind of a mix, it's an eclectic mix, but it kind of seemed like it was more rock today, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, that kind of stuff, and you're focusing on the stuff, so you don't hear the music some of the time. But they blare music constantly. It is an eclectic mix. It's everything. But the first song that was playing as we walked out was an ode to Ozzy, of course, who died yesterday. So this is what we walked out to as a media. Ozzy. What song is the media walked out today? They were playing some crazy drink. So I thought that was kind of cool. So DJ was playing Ozzy. So there you go. So an ode to Ozzy as we all sauntered out onto the field to start day one of training camp today. So I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was very cool. So by the way, nice 420. Thank you very much. You haven't listened to anybody's. Look, I'm going to give you the best stuff. I'm going to give you the unleashed stuff. I'm going to give you the stuff. So you are in the right place at the right time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for waiting. Because yeah, you could have done that. You could have looked at everything. Hi, James A. Hi. Yeah, I said hi to Dylan. Very nice. Thank you for waiting. I appreciate it. But anyway, Ozzy was the first thing he heard as we sauntered out onto the field. The big story was Juwan Jennings going to hold in? Was Juwan Jennings going to hold out? Well, he wasn't going to hold out because we knew that he reported. But as I told you this morning, John Lynch, who is a good card player, who is Mr. Positive, and Kyle Shanahan is Mr. Look, he wears it on his face. Kyle Shanahan, I've told you this. When he got hired in 2017, Tom Tolbert and I did the first interview that Kyle did. And Kyle told us on the air, point blank, and this has been 100% the truth since Kyle got the job, he's not a good liar. He flat out told us, look, I am not a good liar. And he's not. He tries. He still says it to this day. I'm not a good liar. He's not. He just wears everything on his face, and you can tell what he's thinking and saying and doing. So John Lynch is a little bit better. But when... yesterday, when John Lynch was asked about Juwan Jennings first in the press conference, he was very short about it. And he said, we love Juwan Jennings. Then there was an attempt at a follow-up question. And I told you this morning this, and it made me as a former reporter myself. And somebody went, but Juwan, and he cut him off and he said, we love Juwan, and kind of gave him a laugh like that's enough. And so it made me believe, this isn't going to be good. And so my thought was, we're not going to see Juwan on the field today. And as I told you this morning, if we didn't see him on the field, that meant Juwan wanted like $20 million a year. If we did see him on the field, because he makes $7.5 million this year, in the last year of his contract, he signed a two-year $15 million deal last year. So I'm thinking the Niners are saying, look, man, we signed all the big items we did in the offseason. I'm sorry we don't have any money, even though they do have money under the cap. Dude, and Juwan saying, look, I'm the de facto number one wide receiver here because Brandon Ayuk is hurt. You heard yesterday, there's not even a timetable for this dude. So he's probably going to be on the PUP list, missed the first four. Ricky Pierce, I saw, was off onto the side. He was on the far field, so we didn't get a chance. I mean, I did close-ups of him, but you can't really see. But he was working, I got to be honest, he was working what looked to be, to me, fairly full speed. We'll get into Ricky Pierce in just a second, what I saw. But I told you if Juwan Jennings was not going to be on the field, he was looking for like $20 million. And the Niners would be thinking to themselves, we just unloaded a $20 million receiver. We don't want to put those kind of resources into the room. That's why we just unloaded a guy like that. And I said this morning that if he was on the field, that it was going to be a bit of a redo, kind of like what Christian McCaffrey got last year. So let's say, you know, you're making 7.5. Maybe that's 10 to 12. So seeing him on the field, which, by the way, here he is. So let's talk while we see Juwan, all right? So that was right in front of me. There's Juwan earlier today. Caught some passes. By the way, in the 11-on-11 drills today, Juwan got a great ball sandwiched between two defenders. So Juwan looks like Juwan, right? Not going to wow you with the speed or anything like that, but Juwan's going to be Juwan, right? He's going to do what he's going to do. Looks good, right? There is proof. Juwan was on the field today. There's 15. There you go. That's Juwan. That's Juwan Jennings. That's 15. He's on the field. I got proof for you. So Juwan Jennings was Juwan Jennings. And on the 11-on-11 drills today, he might have had the most impressive catch. Like I said, it was an in-route slam between two defenders. And Juwan does what Juwan does. Made a nice catch. Contested because he's not going to run away from anybody. Contested because that's just what he does. He's, because of his 4.72 speed, he's going to make contested catches. And that's what he did. Made a nice catch on an 11-on-11 drill. So Juwan Jennings, I just showed you, was there. So to me, that $7.5 million, maybe it's going to go to 10, maybe it's going to go to 12. Hell, maybe it'll even go to $15 million for the year. It'll be in that range. I was told today that they're working on something. So there you go. I'm glad. See, 420, you waited around, you got some news. I don't think it'll go any higher than 15. I think it's going to be between 10 and $15 million. That's what I think. And they are working on something. So I told her this morning, if he was on the field, that meant that they were in the ballpark. And I also told you this morning that if he wasn't going to be on the field and doing a hold in, here we go again, bad vibes, ugly stuff. And that was kind of the vibe I got last night. So I'm glad I was wrong. I was glad that when I was looking at John Lynch yesterday, I'm like, yeah. So A, they're working on something. B, he's on the field. That's good news. C, it's not going to be in the $20 million range. I would be shocked. So $10 to $15 million. That's what I think it's going to be. Do I think it's going to be extended money? If I was the 49ers, if I'm going to go through this trouble of reworking a contract, I don't really want to do it just for 1 year. I would at least do it for two. And the reason I would is we're going to talk about more wide receivers in just a second, before we get to more stuff on the field, but I would do it for more than, I'd do a 2 year deal. Like, would I do a 2 and 30, maybe 2 and 32 with Juwan Jennings? You know, you're making 7.5, Juwan. I could bump you up to an average of 16, and I could put some upfront money and guarantee that deal. I could see something like that, or 2 and 36. You know, okay, you're up to 18, and we're going to guarantee, I don't know, if I'm giving you 36, I'll guarantee, 24, something in that range. That's about 67% of a guarantee. So yeah, I could do that, because what we're going to talk about in just a second is Ricky Pearsall's off to the side, and Pearsall, to me, he looked good. I mean, he was working out. If he wasn't working out full speed, I don't know, he was 90%. Because what they do is they have a football field in front of you, and they have new fields now. And so they used to be horizontal fields, and now they're vertical fields. And so he's off on a vertical field far away from us. So you got to be, you're taking your cam and you're trying to zoom in on him. So to me, by my naked eye, with just using my, you know, camera, my camera phone, and zooming in on Ricky Pearsall, I say Ricky Pearsall was running at 90% and looking pretty good. And as I told you, they put him on the PUP list to, they haven't seen him for a while. They haven't seen him for 40 days. Ricky Pearsall had a hamstring pull, if you don't know, and it was a pretty good one. And when I say good, not good, bad, pretty bad one. And Kyle Shanahan said that in the press conference on Tuesday. And so they automatically do that when they haven't seen a guy. Then they do a test, which they get him up to full running speed. Ricky Pearsall passed that test, but they wanted to give him a few days to make sure that his conditioning was good. So it wasn't that his hamstring hadn't healed. It wasn't that he didn't do the second test, which was running full speed. He passed that. But Ricky himself actually said, I don't know that I'm at the, you know, the lung capacity and I'm feeling as good as I should be as far as being up to speed football wise. And so Ricky said, just give me a couple of days to get up to that speed. And to me, it looked like he was running pretty good. So Kyle Shanahan said today that Ricky Pearsall is close. In fact, let's go to that, shall we?
Someone that, I mean, if this was probably 3 years ago, we would have practiced in a day. I mean, when you hit your GPS speed, your max speed that you hit before you were hurt, when you can run all those routes, that's usually your protocol to go back. And he hit all that stuff over the weekend, which we felt good about, but he wanted to make sure his conditioning was right. So we're just doing that for 3 days, and he can continue to hit all that stuff. His conditioning's good. I'd be surprised if he wasn't out there Sunday.
All right, so there you go. Ricky Pearsall is going to be out there on Sunday, according to Kyle Shanahan. If there is no setback, if there is no problem, so he mentioned GPS speed, whatever, all those kind of things. There's all these different contraptions that these guys have. So just to reiterate, bad hamstring pull, came back. You automatically go on the PUP if they haven't seen you. They work you out. They get you up to that GPS speed, make sure the hamstring is good. Then they get you up to conditioning, need a couple of days for that. Kyle Shanahan just said, and you just heard, and I was sitting there, said that he is going to work on Sunday. So that's the deal. What I'm pointing out here is, all right, as far as Juwan Jennings is concerned, and every time they turn around, and this is where I'm telling you that Kyle Shanahan just tells the truth. When they were talking about Brock Purdy in the offseason, for example, and it's like Brock Purdy's his damn son. I mean, he's just like, I love Brock Purdy. He's coming back. There's no question about it. When he was asked that. When he was asked about Dre Greenlaw in the offseason, he kind of hemmed and hawed and went, and I went, uh-oh, Dre Greenlaw's not coming back. When they talk about Juwan Jennings, and you heard John Lynch say, we love the guy, period. We love the guy. Now, look, when you're in some kind of a contract negotiation with the guy like Jerry Jones right now, like he doesn't say he loves Micah Parsons. He just, you know, they'll get a deal done in Dallas for that. And that's all that anybody in the NFL is talking about right now. And he'll do what he always does, like the minute before the first game, because he loves when people are talking about his team. So the minute and they play Philadelphia in the first game, and everybody's going to be talking about Philadelphia, but he likes everybody talking about Dallas and Micah Parsons. So like a minute before kickoff, Jerry Jones will sign Micah Parsons because he likes the publicity, actually maybe more than he likes winning football games. So a minute before kickoff, when everybody wants to be talking about Philadelphia, but they're going to have to be talking about Dallas and Micah Parsons, then he'll go, okay, it's time for football. I guess he'll sign now because he likes publicity more than he likes winning football games. The Niners aren't like that. So they're going to get this deal done with Juwan Jennings, and I think it'll probably be more than a one-year deal. And he'll get some upfront money, and it's not going to be an outrageous number, but that's just what it's going to be. And they'll get a deal done. But they're not sure still on Ricky Pearsall. I don't know what Ricky Pearsall is going to be. I mean, the last couple of games, he was really good. He's had a couple of injuries. They're being realistic, just like you and I. I'm not calling Ricky Pearsall injury-prone because that's not fair. He got shot. He had an injury last year. He's had an injury this year to start things. I'm not overly concerned about it, but you know, he's 6 foot, 190, but he's had a couple of issues. I like Ricky Pearsall. He's been inconsistent. He came out good route runner, really good route runner. And the reason he was drafted is because great route runner coming off the Super Bowl, Kansas City locked up their receivers and they wanted a better route runner, but he's got to stay clear of injuries. And they're not sure. They know what they have in Juwan Jennings. They know what they have when Brandon Ayuk is healthy and they need a third wide receiver. So they're going to lock up Juwan Jennings. They like him a lot. John Lynch says it. Kyle Shanahan says it. And if you've learned anything from this regime, when they say those things over and over and over and over, which they have about Purdy, which they have about Kittle, which they have about Warner, they love tone setters in their locker room. They love them. They love them. They love them. They love them. Juwan Jennings isn't going anywhere. They're going to sign him. Are they going to sign him to an outrageous contract? No. Is he a foundational piece? No. But they love that he's come from seventh rounder to 4'7", 240, to blocking guys into the bench. And he's what a Niner is supposed to be. They love it, and they say it all the time. So he's not going anywhere. And they're going to sign him to a reasonable contract. And it seems like both sides realize what that is. And it seems like the Niners love what he brings to the table. And it seems like Juwan Jennings realizes that he's not a number one wide receiver normally, but he's pretty good. Like, you could say he was a number two receiver, and he's right now he is. I mean, and with Ayuk out for the foreseeable future, he's the de facto number one right now. So that's what I think. I think he's going to probably get 2 years out of this, a pretty decent amount of guaranteed money. And if I'm the 49ers and I'm going to work this contract, I'm not going to do all this work for just 1 year. Because here's the thing. I don't know how Brandon Ayuk is going to come back, because this is a pretty major knee injury. It's not just an ACL. And the second part of it is, I still don't know what Ricky Pearsall is. So let me do a couple of years, because I just want to know. And here's another thing, by the way, I'm just talking about today, because this is all I know. This is all I know is today, is that DeMarcus Robinson, now because of a DUI, he's going to have to be out a couple of games. Just up close, and we know what DeMarcus Robinson is. He was in Kansas City, he was in L.A. I'm not trying to say he is more than what he is, but DeMarcus Robinson made a couple of nice catches today, and he's big. He's bigger than you think up close, and he wears number 5. So DeMarcus Robinson, he's a nice player. Again, he's not a number one, he's not a number two, but DeMarcus Robinson has made nice plays in Kansas City and with the Rams. He'll be an underrated piece. He'll be a piece that, you know, like a third corner or something is going to cover, or a safety is going to have to cover, something like that. And he'll make some plays for the 49ers this year where you go, wow, it's nice to have that dude. I'm telling you, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to have DeMarcus Robinson. He made some nice plays today, and he was in, you know, I saw some routes that he ran, and I was watching him during some team drills. DeMarcus Robinson's a nice player, and he's bigger than you think. Just letting you know. That's nice. That was a nice pickup. Just letting you know. So there's a little bit of wide receiver stuff for you. I do have more wide receiver stuff. Should we move away from wide receivers? Yeah, let me give you one more. This is not great news. Not great news. Jacob Cowing has a hamstring pull.
Jake had one of the best OTAs out of anybody on our team in terms of most improved, most prepared for it. Fortunately, I think he pulled his hamstring and routes on air today before we started. So I'd say to just keep on his trajectory. Hopefully he can stay healthy and keep going where he did in OTAs. We probably had a little setback today. So hopefully that's better news than what we're guessing out there, and get back to what he's doing in OTAs.
All right, so Jacob Cowing had great OTAs, as Kyle just said. He pulled a hamstring today, and the word devastating is too strong of a word. And I told you this morning too, when we were talking about wide receivers, how many guys were 5'9", 175, which Cowing is, he's not a big guy. He's a fast guy. He runs in the 4.3s, in the mid to high 4.3s. But he made a 41-yard catch last year that I liked. He fell down when he caught it. And so I'd like to see him do more things. I had heard from some powers that be that maybe Kyle would use him in a way that they use Debo, not in the backfield, but for some of the, you know, end around stuff and those things. And now this guy's going to miss some camp, some significant time, I hear. Kyle Shanahan said, was kind of cautious in what he said there, but I heard it's fairly significant. So all of a sudden, let's put Jacob Cowing on the shelf here for a minute. And your wide receivers now are, and again, DeMarcus Robinson's going to miss the first couple of games. So Ayuk's not going to be ready for the first couple of games, I don't believe, based on the way they acted on Tuesday. Cowing, I don't know. DeMarcus Robinson's going to be out for the first couple. They're going to work something out with Juwan Jennings. He's going to be fine. Let's say Ricky Pearsall, because it sounds optimistic, he's going to be back on Sunday. So you got Pearsall, you got Jennings. And at least for the first couple of games, you're not going to have Ayuk. You're not going to have DeMarcus Robinson. And I don't necessarily trust Jacob Cowing. And I didn't hear anything about Jordan Watkins today. So somebody else is going to have to step up. I don't know who it's going to be. Hopefully Watkins has a camp. There was, you know, like we always talk about, rookies are dartboard throws, man. They are. Rookies are dartboard throws. And Kyle did say in the press conference today that they're going to have their eyes out for wide receivers. They don't say a lot about wide receivers who aren't around, but just keep an eye out. You know, here's Amari Cooper sitting around. There's, you know, Keenan Allen sitting around. I don't know what those guys are doing. I don't know if they're just asking for too much money. The other thing for me is, you know, guys like that probably don't want to hang around. They don't want to go to training camp. But here's the thing. And I know a lot of guys run the Shanahan system, and the verbiage is not that hard to pick up for these guys, but I'd like them to be in camp a little bit. Yeah, I don't mind St. Brown. And Kyle gave him, in fact, our good friend Damon Bruce asked the question today. Kyle said that St. Brown picked up the offense pretty good. He was wearing 17 out there today. Again, good-sized guy, not a lot of speed. I saw him run a couple of crossing routes, has decent enough hands. There's a reason why the guy has bounced around the league. But he's got some size, there's no doubt. I think the 49ers are looking for some size for Brock to throw. Again, remember, Brock is smaller. That doesn't mean Brock's small. It just means he's shorter. But Brock is stocky, man. Brock's got big legs. And Brock was talking about this on Tuesday. You know, he's looking for different points to throw from. And what he means by that is get out of the pocket, be able to see and scan the entire field. And I think one of the things the 49ers want to do is get some bigger receivers so that Brock can see those receivers get the ball out. But I think that St. Brown is probably going to be a guy that's just going to be a practice body. And I do think that they could look at a guy, depending on what the health is of these guys. They could look at a Cooper. They could look at at least short term, a guy like Allen. They could look at those guys, because who knows what the injury status is going to be on a Cowing or somebody like that. Who knows Ayuk? I mean, they did not paint a rosy picture on Ayuk. And this Cowing thing hurts, because they did say that he had, as you just heard from Kyle, he had a great OTA. They looked pretty good. But I just look at what the league looks at, 5'9", 175. And if you don't have elite, elite, elite quickness, then it can be an issue. You know, Antonio Brown was about 5'9", but, I mean, he was built. He was small. You know, he was smaller, and he was maybe one. I think he was 5'9", 184 is what he was listed at. But, I mean, he was built. He was strong. And Cowing's just not that kind of a body type. So, anyway, there's the latest on the wide receivers. So, again, giving you a recap from day one at camp today. I was down there. Jennings on the field. Wide receivers, Cowing hurt. Pearsall is going to be back on Sunday. So that is the latest from the wide receivers. Any questions before I move on to CMC? Anything on a question, comment, thoughts on anything of the wide receivers? Thoughts on, yeah, give you a thought on St. Brown, pulled hamstring, shouldn't take too long to heal. The one thing about, remember, Pearsall had a hamstring. It was pretty bad. It just to listen to the tone here on, I just didn't get a great tone on the hamstring when Kyle said it. Let me go back to, there's Pierce. I think it's this one on the hamstring.
Jake had one of the best OTAs out of anybody on our team in terms of most improved, most prepared for it. Fortunately, I think he pulled his hamstring and routes on air today before we started. So I'd say to just keep on his trajectory. Hopefully he can stay healthy and keep going where he did in OTAs. But probably had a little setback today. So hopefully that's better news than what we're guessing out there, and get back to what he's doing in OTAs.
All right, so he said, hopefully it's better news than what we're guessing. So not great, but we'll see where it goes. But again, another blow to the wide receiver crew, which is not great. So a guy like Jordan Watkins may have to step up, or they may be forced with their cap space to look into more receivers. And it's going to cut into their cap space to try to hit up Jennings. But remember, they have the most cap space in the league right now. They can do it. And I think that, you know, again, I don't think they're going to work into a one-year deal with Jennings. I think if you're going to do the work, do it for a couple of years. You know, why not? The guy is somebody that they want to keep around. So I think they're going to do more than 1 year as far as Jennings is concerned. So let's see. Plus, they just got a bunch of big deals done. So anyway, yeah, rest in peace, Ozzie. Like I said, if you just joined the show and you were a little bit late as we sauntered onto the field.
Ode to Ozzie.
There you go. Ode to Ozzie. They did an ode to Ozzie to start start camp today. And again, they have a DJ. I don't think that Kyle necessarily has play over the playlist. That's just the DJ that does that. But it was a rather rock day. Like I said, a lot of times you just get caught up in watching stuff and you're not listening. But I did hear a Zeppelin. I did hear some AC/DC. But then, you know, like I said, it's eclectic. They mix it up. But I did hear some of that stuff. And again, if you're just joining. Little Jennings footage today. There you go. There is actual Jennings. We saw that right when we walked on the field. So that is the latest as far as the wide receivers are concerned. All right, do not be concerned over CMC. He was out there plenty today. They gave CMC and Trent Williams the 11 on 11 off. They did not give them the camp off. So if anybody says, don't be confused by that. They didn't give them the day off. They just weren't in on the 11 on 11. Gorenda was in with the first team running backs on 11 on 11. And then as far as the first team left tackle, that was Spencer Burford. Now, that's not completely foreign to Burford. He's played guard the first couple of years of his career with the Niners, mostly right guard. But he was a left tackle at Texas San Antonio. But I'm going to give you a little bit of this. Here's a little bit of Christian McCaffrey right in your face. Here you go. Watch 23. There you go. Can't get any closer than that. You'll get a Gorenda right here. A little appearance by Gorenda at the end here. Bam. There you go. So I saw a lot of CMC today. He was running fine. He was getting through holes fast. He looks healthy. He looks fast. I've seen a lot of people talking about, like yesterday, I think I showed you this. I think it was yesterday morning, and I can't remember. I've looked at so much stuff. It might have come from ESPN. It was from The Athletic. And they did power ranks, which everybody loves. Oh, power ranks. And I think they had them 49ers like 15, which I'm fine with, be underrated. And they said the number one concern that they had was Christian McCaffrey's health. And I'm like, I'm telling you, he's healthy. He's fine. There's no issue with Christian McCaffrey. In fact, the top 10 things, if I had a list, and I don't, but if I had a list of the top 10 things that I was looking at in training camp for the 49ers, he would not make my top 10 things that I'm worried about. I'm not worried about Christian McCaffrey whatsoever. Now, do I think that he's going to have a season like he had two seasons ago? That was I'm not going to say a one in a million, because that's not fair to Christian McCaffrey. He's better than what I think the top 100 put him at 73. That's a joke. Where I would put him in the league as far as running backs, I want to be fair to the guys who had the seasons they had last year. Saquon Barkley right now is the best running back in football. He deserves it. He was the offensive player of the year last year for Philadelphia, and they won the Super Bowl. He was what Christian McCaffrey was a year ago going into the season, and he deserves it. He's the best running back in football. And what the big boy has done in Baltimore, Derrick Henry, he deserves to be the second best running back in football. He does, based on what he did last year. But after that, and I'm not talking about fantasy football or anything like that. I'm talking about the reality of football. And the third best running back in the league is Christian McCaffrey. There's just no doubt. And he's healthy. That's not any issues. There's issues defensively for the 49ers. There's major issues, as we talked about, at wide receiver. There's an issue at left guard for the 49ers. There's an issue, along the defensive line, at end, at tackle, two linebackers, at safety, possibly at corner, definitely at nickel. Christian McCaffrey does not make the top 10 things that I think about. Kicking, there's an issue. So I'm not worried about Christian McCaffrey at all. And some people are like, well, he's not in the 11 on 11 drills today. That's what they do with veterans. There's not an issue with Trent Williams. He is 100% healthy. They do that. And Kyle was asked that question in the post game or post press conference for day number one. There is no issue. He's going to do that with Bosa. There is no issue. He's going to do it with CMC. He's going to do it with Trent Williams. He's going to watch the pitch count on Brock Purdy. There is no issue there. He's going to do it with George Kittle. He's going to do it with Fred Warner. And even though those guys don't want to be on a pitch count, they are. That's just the way training camp is. He's got to keep these guys healthy. He doesn't need to really worry about what those guys, they don't have to prove anything, those guys. So those guys are all going to be on a pitch count. All those guys that have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, Kyle Juszczyk, all those guys, they're going to be on a pitch count. And today it just so happened that even though it was day one, that McCaffrey was working off a lot on the side, but he was in every drill. Every drill Christian McCaffrey was with the offense, as you just saw that I just played for you. So he just wasn't in the 11 on 11, nor was Trent Williams. So there is no issue as far as Christian McCaffrey is concerned. So CMC I put up there. Pearsall, we've talked about. CMC, very healthy. Burford at left tackle. Let's flip it over to the defensive side. Boy, there's a lot of things to talk about defensively. Anything on CMC, anything more offensively? Because I'm going to flip to the defensive side of the ball. So anything offensively that you need to know about? I didn't mention anything about Brock Purdy because I got to be honest with you. There's nothing about Brock Purdy. There was nothing about Brock Purdy today other than the Niners offensively in 11-on-11. I guess this is a story that you can talk about with your friends. For every year that Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach of the Niners, the first play on 11-on-11 on the first day of training camp has been a running play. And today it was a passing play. And it threw the defense off. That's, there you go. There's your big story of the day. They threw the ball when it's normally been a pass. And that's about it. But Brock Purdy was Brock Purdy. He looked good. There was nothing really to report. Oh, my God, he threw two interceptions. And I'll get to that in just a second. One was by Pinnock and one was by D. Winters. And it was actually really good by D. Winters. So I'm going to get into that in 1 second, but I'd rather give credit to Winters than worry about Brock Purdy. And I don't keep camp stats. I don't keep camp stats. I think they're stupid. And we've already gotten to this conversation a million times, but I'll tell you why. Because they run the same play. They're doing certain things. You can jump routes. You can do those things. Brock is, has said this a million times, but I'll say it again. In training camp, he is trying to fit the ball in. He is making throws that he wouldn't normally make in an NFL game. He is going to complete the play. He doesn't want to just hold the ball, and then run. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to complete the play. So when everybody's like, oh, my God, Brock threw three interceptions. Yeah, because he is throwing balls that he might not normally throw because he's trying to fit the ball in there. That's what he's doing. And so I don't care if Brock throws eight interceptions in a day. You know, it's different. And remember when Jimmy Garoppolo threw, what did he throw, six one time in Denver? He threw like six interceptions in Denver and everybody freaked out. That's what training camp is for. You're trying to figure stuff out. And believe me, Brock is going to have a day in this training camp where he throws a lot of interceptions. You know why? Because he's throwing to a bunch of new guys. And he talked about it on Tuesday. He's like, yeah, I got a bunch of new guys that I'm throwing to. I mean, think about it. St. Brown, he's never thrown to. DeMarcus Robinson, he's hardly thrown to. Ricky Pearsall, he worked down in Florida with a little bit in the offseason. He hasn't worked with when Brandon Ayuk comes back. Think about that. He hasn't worked in an offseason with Ayuk in like 2 years because he was having rehabbing an injury. Then this offseason, now Ayuk's rehabbing an injury. I mean, they haven't worked together in a long time. So anyway, he did work because he's in Nashville now and Kittle's in Nashville. He worked a ton with Kittle and Mason Plyne. Well, that's who he's working with. So look, he hasn't worked with a lot of these guys. He's got a lot of new wide receivers. He is going to throw picks in this camp, but by and large, he's said this a million times and everybody forgets about it. And then it's like a yearly ritual. Oh my God, Brock's throwing interceptions. And everybody freaks out. It's like, whatever, man, whatever. So he will, but he threw two today. I don't care. It means zero to me. All right, let's flip to the defensive side because there's a lot. Like I said right here, there could be as many as eight jobs defensively. In fact, let me get this back up because I put this up this morning, but I want to do it again. Let me see. Can I find this? That's the big question. Can I find this? Yes, I can. Let me just pop this up before we get to the defense. So look at this. There's seven, and then let me add Upton Stout in the slot. So there you go there. Mikel Williams, and I want to talk about Mikel Williams. There's Elliott, massive dude. There's Collins. Oh, my God, is he massive. Obviously, Bosa. Two of the three linebackers. By the way, Clifford, the kid that came over from Tennessee, special teams guy, he ran with the first team a lot today. So you see Martin right there? By the way, Martin is not a big dude. These dudes up front better cover for Martin if Martin's going to play because he is not a big dude. And then you got Winters, who had a nice day today. Pinnock, who wears 25. Brown, who looks good coming back from the surgery. He's moving around well. Demo, of course. And Green, in his second year, has got to take a big jump. And by the way, he was in on a lot of reps today. Green was in on a lot of reps today. So you can see right there, you can see seven across the board, three, five, seven spots right there that could be open, and then add the slot, eight. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser Upton Stout was really good today. He was the best rookie by far on the field, and it's hard to see in the trenches. But so, you know, I'm looking out on the athletes. He was the best by far. So that's what it looks like defensively. Let me show you the big boys. All right. 95 is Collins. He is gigantic. 98 is Mikel Williams. He's just long and angular. So look for 98 and 95 specifically, but watch how big Alfred Collins is next to the other guys. All right, so these are the D lines. Yeah, I got you a little closer there. So you see Bosa. All right. There's 98. There's Mikel Williams. Look at 95. There's Collins right there. Dude blocks out the sun. You see 98. Look at 95. My God. He makes other dudes look small. All right, so there you go. A little bit of the D line. Alfred Collins is massive. I mean, just massive. So look, I'm watching the get off. There's not a lot to learn. I mean, it's cool watching Chris Kocurek. You're kind of moving around during camp to just kind of give you an offset. You're able to move along the sidelines. Like I said, there's a far field where, like I said, I was kind of zooming in on Ricky Pearsall and just kind of watching his speed. And if you're just joining us, I thought he was moving really, really well. I played for you a video a little bit earlier of Kyle Shanahan saying he's going to work on Sunday and Pearsall looks good. As far as the D line, there's get off drills. They're moving the sleds, all that kind of stuff. You're not really seeing a whole lot. Same thing in terms of, you know, the 11 on 11, you can't tape. So what they do is all those drills and all that kind of stuff, you can tape all that stuff. And then they say, okay, cut it. And then they do the 11 on 11, which is, you know, they're working on plays and all the kind of stuff. You can't video any of that stuff. So I can tell you about those things. I can't video any of those things. You won't see any of that kind of stuff. So you can't really see that. But what I'm trying to get to you is, I think Mikel Williams has some work to do. There's no doubt about it. You see the get off and the speed of Bosa, but just Collins' size. And there's good and bad to that. Now, can you move the guy? Pfft, hell no. I mean, he's 95. So when you see him into the screen right away and just you watch him on the sideline next to other guys, like he was standing next to Nick Martin. And I'm like, Nick Martin looks like a five-year-old child. I mean, it's just, it's like, wow. But the other thing is I used to say that about Javon Kinlaw. Like I'd go to camp and you're just like, Kinlaw is massive. And he had these big vines. He's just tremendous arms. And so I could see why they drafted him. But the first thing that pops to mind, and I don't want to be negative about the guy because I just don't know, but he's got to be able to get down. He's 6'6", and he's listed at 6'6", 332. So can he, at 6'6", get down? And then you look at a guy like C.J. West, who's wearing 99, and C.J. West is, you know, 6'1", but he's listed at about 317. So C.J. West looks like a fire hydrant next to him. He's much shorter, but he's not going to have problems in terms of, you know, getting down. So the D line, and Nick Bosa talks about it. In fact, let me show you a little Nick Bosa here. But, you know, they've got a bunch of guys in there, and they've got three guys, and you see 92 in there as well. So they've got three big guys that they can rotate in there. They got West. You know, they're going to have Collins, and I hope that Collins can be good enough to start. Let me throw that up there one more time. So as you can see right there, Elliott's in there, 92. He's a big boy. His PFF grade was not good. Collins, 95. You got West, 99 in there. And then you got a guy like Givens, who next to those guys looks tiny, but Givens is in there as well. So they got bodies. But you can see right there, Elliott didn't have a good year last year. You got two other rookies right there. And then you can throw in West. I think he's a guy that's going to get some time in there, and that's next to Bosa. And Bosa says he's excited. I mean, Bosa was on the stage, and Bosa said he's excited. And you got Yutur Gross-Matos. So you got bodies in there. You got a lot of young guys, but they've got to catch up. Here's Nick Bosa after day one talking about the new guys, and he's excited to work with them.
Or and Jordan and KD, guys that have been around.
but also the new guys. I like it. I like the group. I think we have a lot of talent. I think when you look out on the field, you see NFL bodies out there that look impressive, which is a good thing. Obviously, we're young, but just because nobody knows them now, they play a good couple games, and the whole world knows them, so pretty excited.
All right, and also one of the other things that Nick said that I thought was really good, and it was very poignant. In fact, I posted it on at John Lund Radio on X. If you're watching on X, you can check it out there. He talked about Robert Saleh. He said he played some golf with Robert Saleh. He said when he was a rookie, when Robert Saleh was here, and then of course Saleh went to coach the Jets. He said he really didn't. It was whatever. The defensive coordinator is the defensive coordinator. I'm just going to go get the quarterback. And now that he's matured and understand some things, and he said that Robert Saleh is really taking charge of the meetings. He realizes what a young defense is going to be. And at the end of what he said today, Nick kind of paused for a minute and he said, this is something we really needed. And it was kind of like, you know, kind of getting them in charge. And look, Robert Saleh is not going to tackle anybody, sack anybody, pick anything off, do anything, no assignments. But I think an adult in the room is almost what Nick is intimating here, that, you know, he's really going to get him, you know, aligned and all those kind of things. But look, I've yet to see a coach in any professional sport take a team that didn't have talent and make them great. Now, you can make okay good. You can make good great. I think those are kind of things. In other words, you can lift somebody up to a certain level. But I think that group, what Nick Bosa is just talking about there, they're the key to this whole defense. Can Collins, the big boy we just saw, can Mikel Williams, and by the way, Nick Bosa also let something out that I've been talking about for a long time, which is the way this thing is going to work. If Collins can do this next to Elliott, next to Mikel Williams, next to Bosa, that's going to be the starting four. Hopefully they can stop the run. They can force, you know, your third and longs, third and eight plus third and seven, whatever, something longer than third and five, so that you're forcing a passing down, that Bosa's going to move inside over guards more. Mikel Williams is going to move inside. Huff's going to be outside, and they're going to have that NASCAR package, and they're going to get after the quarterback. Mikel Williams is going to move inside. Bryce Huff on the outside. Bosa can move in or out, depending on he's going to have more say on what he's going to do. He's going to like to move over a guard, those kind of things. You're not going to double him that way as much. So they're going to have some packages in this and hopefully have some, you know, some ways to do those kind of things. So, but it's going to come down to the defensive line being able to do things and open things up for other guys, because D Winters is not a huge guy. He's a speed guy. Nick Martin, like I said, I said this when I saw him in OTAs, not in pads. I'm like, this is not a big dude. And then I saw him in pads today, and I'm not saying he's wearing 45, and I'm not saying that he can't be a good player, but what I am saying is he's listed at 5'11 and I think like 221. I don't even know if he's that big. My point is they have, and their philosophy now is big dudes to push the pocket and stop the run inside. And it's so that they can keep these linebackers clean to make plays, flow and make plays, because they're not big dudes. They want them to use their speed, and in Fred Warner's case, speed and instincts, to make plays at the second level, get through cracks and make plays, losses, all those kind of things. Aggressive safeties that they have, get through cracks, make plays. Those kind of things. That's what they need those guys to do. They got to tie up blockers. If they don't, they're going to be in trouble, because they don't have the bulkiest guys at the next level, clearly. Now, let me get to D Winters. So let me go from the defensive line, Collins massive. So eight jobs on D, Collins massive, the Winters pick. Both Kyle Shanahan, and Shanahan said, hey, I got to get up to the office and look at the tape. And Kyle is always kind of leaning towards the offense. There's a reason why Robert Saleh's on the defense. Robert Saleh's taking care of the defense. He's got more confidence now this year. You know, remember, they've the last couple of years, you know, Steve Wilkes was there. Last year they had a rookie defensive coordinator. So maybe he had more of a lean, you know, he's looking over there, making sure that everything's getting done on the defensive side. He doesn't have to do that with Robert Saleh. He doesn't have to do that with Brant Boyer now with special teams. He's got veteran guys to do that, and I think that's part of the reason why he did that. So he said he had to look at the tape on D Winters, but D Winters made a nice play on a ball that was a miss. You know, it was not a good throw, but he still made it. Would have been a pick six. I mean, if this was a regular game, he was right down the sideline. It would have been a pick six for D Winters. The thing about Dee Winters is, and I watched Dee Winters a lot at TCU too. I'm a college football, huge college football fan. Dee Winters, when he first got on the scene last year, and remember with Dee Winters, with Dre Greenlaw's injury, he was fast and he was getting to the scene fast, but he just couldn't break down and get there. He was just chicken with his head cut off kind of a thing. He was just overly excited, overrunning plays, not making plays. And that's when, hey, we got to play Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell was horrible. We saw Campbell 59 constantly. He was getting targeted constantly in the pass game. He was okay in the run game, but he was getting targeted and killed in the pass game. According to PFF, he was one of the worst pass, you know, targeted pass guys. He was one of the worst linebackers in the league, I should say, against the pass. Campbell 59. You saw the back of his jersey constantly running after tight ends and running backs. And Dee Winters had supposedly great OTAs. And I'm like, yeah, guys running around in shorts. Today, he was all over the place. His speed, obviously, is a great weapon. And he looks like he's calmed it down. That's the big thing. So for Dee Winters, it looked like he's calmed down the speed, that he's finally said, okay, relax. And look, he wasn't a rookie last year, but that was his first extensive play. He played on special teams, but it was his first extensive play. And he was just overly excited. So they're like, hey, dude, settle down. You know, you're not quite ready. End of the season, he played much better. And then at least, again, I'm reporting on day one of training camp. Day one of training camp, he was flying all over the place, and I'm talking about 11 on 11, but he looked more under control. And then, look, anytime you get an interception, it looks great. It would have been a pick six. It stands out. It's day one. I'm not getting overly excited, but it would have been a pick six, and he looked like he was more under control. Kyle Shanahan noticed it. Nick Bosa mentioned it. Just letting you know. Does it mean he's going to be great? No. But for day one, he looked pretty good. Jason Pinnick was the other one who got a pick today. That looked good. He looked active. Again, he was a good special teams player with the Giants, had really bad PFF numbers against the pass. But one of the reasons he's here, Robert Saleh knows him. And so Robert Saleh has some confidence in him. And until Malik Mustafa comes back, it's probably going to be his job to lose. Just letting you know. So Winters and Pinnock get the interceptions today. And then do I have the Upton Stout? Yeah, Upton Stout was the best rookie on the field. Here is Kyle Shanahan when asked about the third-round pick.
I thought he did a real good job, especially for a rookie coming in, just throwing him into the nickel role. Almost made a hell of a play today. I thought he had a pick six, just mistimed it and actually gave up the completion, but it was really good coverage. But I was real excited with him in OTAs, and he's one of the guys where I think he's got a chance to compete to help us throughout this training camp and into the season.
I liked what I saw from Upton Stout today. They gave him a ton of reps in the nickel, and I was looking out for him today. I mean, he's diminutive. There's no doubt about it. And what teams are going to do against him, think about Seattle. Seattle's got two. I'm interested to know what Seattle's going to do. In fact, I've got some friends up there, and I'm going to call them tonight because Jackson Smith and Jigba had a breakout year last year in the slot, but they signed Cooper Kupp, who's most effective in the slot. So if you put Cooper Kupp in there, he's a bigger receiver. Upton Stout's going to struggle with that, being 5'8". But remember, Kaywan Williams played in the slot, and they blitzed him from there. He was great against the run. He played a lot bigger than that. Everybody says that's what Upton Stout does, and he looked good today. And like I said, they were, you know, Juwan Jennings was in the slot today for the 49ers. They were putting size against him, but Upton Stout had a ton of reps in the slot. You just heard what Kyle Shanahan said. One of the reasons why people talked about him, why they drafted him in the third round, he's a feisty dude. And they played some other guys in the slot today, but as far as the first team, out of the slot, Upton Stout was in there. He was in there with the second team as well. So it seems like it's his job to lose because Trey Brown was the other guy that I was talking about in the slot. Trey Brown was actually playing left corner today. He was backing up Dima Lenore on the left side today. And so, and then the right side. So he wasn't playing in the slot at all today. Brown wasn't playing in the slot at all. It was a lot of Upton Stout. Now, will that change? Who knows? I'm just saying, again, I'm just reporting on day one. Lot of Upton Stout in the slot. So has he won the job? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying for day one, he was in there a lot. And then afterwards, and it was one of the questions I wanted to ask afterwards, Kyle Shanahan gave him a lot of praise. And he said he had a great offseason, had great OTAs. So they're high in Upton Stout, and he played a ton in the slot today. And like you said, he probably should have had a pick, and it went right through his hands and was a completed pass. So he, one of the things you got to do, obviously, is you have to finish a play. But they like him. So that could be something that to keep an eye on. He's wearing number 20. So Upton Stout, a guy to watch. And to me, at least, he was the best rookie today. And then kicking-wise, end of the game. It was funny, end of the practice, kickers, and they kept moving them back. I think it was 30, 35, 40, and 50, if I'm not mistaken. Both kickers, Jake Moody and Greg Joseph, that's the competition. Both went 4 for 4. I know this is not overly exciting. I'm just telling you, both went 4 for 4. It's practice. We're talking about practice. Thank you, Allen Iverson. I want to see it in the game. I've told you this. You can have all the mental reps. You can go and talk to the sports psychologist. I'm talking about the game. When it doinks off the upright, and I don't care if it's preseason, regular season for Jake Moody, is it going to revert back to all of that stuff? And is all of that going to be lost with the sports psychologist? He has the leg. I don't think anybody is saying that he doesn't. It's not a physical thing with Jake Moody. It's a lot of times it's not with a kicker. A lot of times it clicks with the second team, and I hate that. But I've talked to Joe Nedney a lot about it. He was on our show. Every time Jake Moody would miss a kick, we'd call Joe. Hi, Joe. And he's like, I knew you were going to call. And then Joe Nedney would be on the show, and we would ask him about it, and he'd talk about the mental side and all that kind of stuff. So the bottom line is, you know, I was sitting there watching it. Okay, it's good. You know, there's officials out there, and both of them went 4 for 4, and that it's never really it's not a leg issue with Jake Moody. So both went 4 for 4. Yay, kickers. And it was funny because Nick Bosa goes, yeah, I usually don't watch kickers, but I'm actually into it. So that was part of what he said today. So there you go. What did we have for you today? Again, day one from camp. So just to reiterate, Matt Maiocco, the tweet of the day, Juwan Jennings caught 3 asses during team drills. Ozzie, an ode to Ozzie today. Juwan Jennings was on the field. There he is as proof. CMC is extremely healthy. There he is. Collins is big. Oh, that's the end of it here. I got to show you the beginning of this. Just in case you're just joining us, I'm giving you a quick recap. Stone in lunch. There we go. Where's 95? I gotta see this one more time. Yeah, there's 98. Angular, there's Bosa. I just gotta give you a flash of 95. Then we can stop this. There's 98 right there. There's the first round pick. Look at 95. Gigantic. Gigantic. If he can man the middle, we're cooking with gas. He makes everybody else look small. We heard from Kyle Shanahan on Ricky Pearsall. He's going to work on Sunday. Jacob Cowing pulled hamstring today. That's not good. They love Upton Stout. Bosa talked about their young D-line. Oh, they are working on a contract for Juwan Jennings that could get done. I don't know that it's going to be a big one, but they will satisfy him. So that was big news today as well. Anything else we missed? Like I said, Stout was the best rookie. Winters put an asterisk by that. 8 jobs on defense. Burford was playing backup left tackle today. I hope Trent doesn't get hurt. CMC is not a storyline to me. He is healthy. Anything else for storylines today? Any questions, comments, thoughts? We wrapped that up in an hour. Not bad. Got to get back to work. Hey, thanks for hanging out, Chris. I appreciate it. Oops, I missed Chris. Where was it? Got to get back to work. Catch y'all tomorrow. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate hanging out. Anything else, any questions, comments, thoughts that I can answer? I'm sure there was more today, but I just want to the Lunderwear Olympics. They can't do pads for like 3 more days. I think Monday, I think it is. We're talking about practice. I know. Yeah. J49. I agree. D Winters needs to not slip off people. That's what I mean. He was too excited. He didn't break down and wrap up, but we'll see. Yeah, look, man, you gotta get the pads on, so we'll see. And Kyle talked about that today, and he showed it to George Kittle. Went up to the podium today and said, well, it's not football till we put the pads on. And he said that doesn't happen until Monday. So he goes, it's not really football. Pine says Collins has one role. You got one job. Be a run stuffer, occupy 2 bodies. That's it. 95. And you got to get down to do that. So absolutely. Let's see what else. Chef has a good question. He says, where does the content creation stop and the actual journalism begin? That's part of my problem. I agree. When it comes to these camps, I'm not accusing you of anything. It just seems some of the pundits just ramble about nada. I agree. Like I said, I try not to do that. I give you stuff. I bring back stuff so that like Kyle Shanahan things. I like to bring back things from camp like Collins. I think that's legit. An ode to Ozzie I thought was legit. I thought Jennings seeing him on the field I thought was legit. Showing CMC to you, because some people are going to say, oh my God, he wasn't in on the 11-on-11. I just wanted to show you that he was there and working. The Pearsall, I would have showed you Pearsall, but he was on a far field and the footage I got wasn't good. So I didn't, I just told you what I saw from Ricky. Like I said, I think I thought he was working at like 90%. He looked like he was working pretty good to me. So I thought I would show you that. What else? Anything else? I think we got everything. I think we did a pretty damn good job. Did a nice hour for everybody. And I think that's about it. I think we don't need to do anything like that. I'm sorry that I interrupted your day twice today, 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Did it. But yeah, I think you're caught up on everything, man. And again, that's just day one. Just day one. Yeah, Randy and Ozzy are jamming now, right? Yeah, very nice. All right, that is it, man. You're welcome for the show, man. I love it, man. That's what I like doing. And yeah, the Giants won again today. And Justin Verlander finally got his first Giants win. So there you go. And so it is a good day. All right, that is your training camp day one update. I'll do it again tomorrow and Friday, just getting you caught up on everything. But that is day one. Not overreacting to anything. You know my training camp philosophy. Not overreacting to anything. Not overreacting to anything. And the biggest thing, anything I report here, the biggest thing, no injuries. No injuries. And they didn't avoid that on day number one. Jacob Cowing went down with a hamstring injury. Pulled hamstring. Could be significant. Ricky Pearsall, the biggest things that came out of today, Jacob Cowing injury, that's always number one on the list. Injuries. The wide receiver situation, Jennings was out there. That was huge. It looks like they're working towards something. CMC is completely healthy. Alfred Collins is massive. Maybe Winters is going to be that guy that we thought maybe we'd see last year. Upton Stout looked really good today. CMC is completely healthy. It's not a talking point, even though the national media maybe tries to make it. And I think that's it. So you were caught up on everything. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we will talk tomorrow. Remember, we're going early tomorrow, 8 a.m., just a quick half-hour show, and then I'll head back down to training camp. So we will see you then. Have a wonderful night. Like I said, have a wonderful night. Oh, yeah, subscribe, give us a like before you get out of here, and keep those alerts on so you know when we're on.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!